Love Divine, a reflection for Good Friday. We follow Jesus of Nazareth from the Passover Supper through the darkness of Gethsemane to Golgotha and the tomb.
In the beginning, God moved in space, and out of his measureless stirring the earth was born, and the seasons thereof. And life streamed forth, and the longing of life sought the height and the depth, and would have more of itself. Then God spoke thus, and his words were man, and man was a spirit begotten by God's Spirit. The Christ was his first word, and that word was perfect. And when Jesus of Nazareth came to the world, the first word was uttered unto us, and the sound was made flesh and blood. Jesus the Anointed was the first word of God uttered unto man. Even as if an apple tree in an orchard should bud and blossom a day before the other trees, and in God's orchard that day was an aeon. We are all sons and daughters of the Most High, but the Anointed One was his firstborn, who dwelt in the body of Jesus of Nazareth, and he walked among us, and we beheld him. All this is said that you may understand, not only in the mind, but rather in the spirit. The mind weighs and measures, but it is the spirit that reaches the heart of life, and embraces the secret, and the seeds of the spirit is deathless.
Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this, and they promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over.
On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born."
James, the brother of Jesus, relates the story of the Last Supper.
"Then Jesus took a loaf of bread and gave to us, saying, 'Perhaps we shall not break bread again. Let us eat this morsel in remembrance of our days in Galilee.' And he poured wine from the jug into a cup, and he drank and gave to us and said, 'Drink this in remembrance of a thirst we've known together, and drink it also in hope for the new vintage. When I'm enfolded and I'm no more among you, and when you meet here or elsewhere, break the bread and pour the wine, and eat and drink, even as you're doing now. Then look about you, and perchance you may see me sitting with you at the board.' We ate little, yet we were filled, and we drank but a drop, and we felt that the cup was like a space between this land and another land." Then Jesus said, "Ere we leave this board, let us rise and sing the joyous hymns of Galilee." And we rose and sang together, and his voice was above our voices, and there was a ringing in every word of his words. And he looked at our faces, each and every one, and he said, "Now, I bid you farewell. Let us go beyond these walls. Let's go unto Gethsemane." And he left the inn, and we followed him. But when we reached the gate of the city, Judas Iscariot was no longer with us.
They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter and James and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow at the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
James recalls the story of Jesus's arrest.
"At last Jesus came over among us again, and he said to us, 'Wake and rise, my hour has come. The world is already upon us, armed for battle.' And then he said, 'A moment ago I heard the voice of my Father. If I see you not again, remember that the conqueror shall not have peace until he is conquered.' And when we'd risen and come close to him, his face was like the starry heaven above the desert. Then he kissed each one of us upon the cheek. And when his lips touched my cheek, they were hot, like the hand of a child in fever. Suddenly, we heard a great noise in the distance, as of numbers, and when it came near, it was a company of men approaching with lanterns and staves, and they came in haste. As they reached the hedge of the grove, Jesus left us and went forth and met them. And Judas Iscariot was leading them. There were Roman soldiers with swords and spears, and men of Jerusalem with clubs and pickaxes. And Judas came up to Jesus and kissed him. And then he said to the armed men, "This is the man." And Jesus said to Judas, "Judas, you were patient with me. This could have been yesterday." And they fell upon him and held him, and they were all shouting. But we, in our fear, ran away and sought to escape. We ran through the olive groves, nor had we the power to be mindful, nor did any voice speak in us, except our fear.
They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the teachers of the law came together. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death, but they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with human hands, and in 3 days will build another not made with hands.'" Yet even then, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. The high priest asked him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" "I am," said Jesus. "And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One, and coming on the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his clothes. "Why do we need any more witnesses?" he asked. "You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They all condemned him as worthy of death. Then some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fists, and said, "Prophesy." And the guards took him and beat him.
Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus and led him away and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priest accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply. and Pilate was amazed.
Jesus was still standing there alone, and his head was still high. Pilate asked him again, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And he said not a word. And Pilate asked him yet again, "Have you not said that you are the King of the Jews?" And he looked upon Pilate and answered with a quiet voice, "You yourself proclaimed me king. Perhaps to this end I was born, and for this cause came to bear witness unto truth." Pilate, in his impatience, said aloud to himself as much as to Jesus, "What is truth? And what is truth to the guiltless when the hand of the executioner is already upon him?" Then Jesus said with power, "None shall rule the world save with the Spirit and truth." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Are you of the Spirit?" He answered, "So are you also, though you know it not." And Pilate said again, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And he answered, "You yourself say this. I have conquered the world ere this hour."
Now it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who'd committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to get Pilate to release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call King of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him!" they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff, and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross.
"I was on my way to the fields when I saw him carrying his cross, and multitudes were following him. Then I too walked beside him. His burden stopped him many a time, for his body was exhausted. Then a Roman soldier approached me, saying, 'Come, you are strong and firm built, carry the cross of this man.' When I heard these words, my heart swelled within me, and I was grateful, and I carried his cross. It was heavy, for it's made of poplar soaked through with the rains of winter. Jesus looked at me, and the sweat of his forehead was running down upon his beard. Again he looked at me and said, "Do you too drink this cup? You shall indeed sip its rim with me to the end of time." So saying, he placed his hand upon my free shoulder, and we walked together towards the hill of the skull. But now I felt not the weight of the cross. I felt only his hand. It was like the wing of a bird upon my shoulder.
They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 a.m. when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him.
Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his own home.
At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing nearby heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, and put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God."
Barabbas reflects on the crucifixion.
"They released me and chose him. Then He rose, and I fell down. And they held him a victim and a sacrifice for the Passover. I was freed from my chains and walked with the throng behind him, but I was a living man going to my own grave. I should have fled to the desert, where shame is burned out by the sun. Yet I walked with those who'd chosen him to bear my crime. When they nailed him on his cross, I stood there. I saw and I heard, but I seemed outside of my body. I know now that those who slew him in my stead achieved my endless torment. His crucifixion endured but for an hour, but I shall be crucified unto the end of my years.
It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Summoning the centurion, Pilate asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that this was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance.
Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Are you well pleased that I suffered for you? For if you are pleased, I am pleased. It is a joy, a happiness, an endless satisfaction to me that I suffered my passion for you. And if I might suffer more, I would suffer more." Would you know your Lord's meaning in this? It is love that was his meaning. Hold fast to this, and you shall learn and know more about love. Love was our Lord's meaning. For he is the endless being, and he made us only to himself, and restored us in his precious passion, and ever keeps us in his blessed love. And all this is of his goodness. Amen.